Some decisions are quite clear-cut. Certain careers, you can't be a bartender. You can't be a bartender, no matter how you try to actually run around it. Okay, let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. I'll just give you an example of that. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 2. And some people may ask and say, hey, Pastor, I've never known this verse before, so how am I supposed to decide God's will? Well, that's when we need to be in the Word of God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, and I'll show you why we cannot be a bartender. Okay? Anyone who work in the alcoholic industry, anyone who have to serve alcohol deliberately, intentionally, is not in the will of God. Okay? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Ready? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Okay? So the Bible is very clear. There are two things here. Number one, the children of Israel actually is giving alcohol to people. Why is drinking not comparable to the Christian? Because it impairs your judgment. Okay? If it's just social drinking, you can always drink orange juice. Why do you need to put poison literally into your body? Your body belongs to God. Okay? Here, the Bible says a person who... No, Pastor, I'm not drinking. I'm buying for someone else. That's why when people actually ask me, when I go through Singapore Airport, can you buy this alcohol? I said, no, I won't buy it for you. Sorry. I can buy other things, but I won't buy alcohol. Why? Because it goes against this word. Okay? So we have to be very careful in the searching of the Word of God. The Word of God does impact our life for good. Okay? And so we have to understand that. So in this particular passage, the Bible teaches that if I am a bartender, if I serve alcohol, then it's wrong. It's sin. It's actually sin. Okay? And that's why we hold a high standard to for us not taking any alcoholic beverages, because it's sin. Okay? Any questions? Some people may say, Pastor Johnny, what about Jesus changing water into wine? Okay, now that in that particular passage, wine there, you have to understand in the context of the Jewish culture, wine, there's actually two types. One is strong fermented alcoholic drink. The other one, wine, is also translated as grape juice. Okay? So when the Lord Jesus Christ actually changed water into wine, per se, wine, you need to look at whether it is glucose or another Greek word. Okay? The other Greek word is for strong drink. Now, one very strong evidence why Jesus did not change it into alcoholic wine is because all wedding ceremonies in the Jewish times are spiritual ceremonies. And God don't condone drunkenness during the spiritual ceremony. It was a celebration, okay, number one. Number two, the wine that is talked about is something like what we have in our wedding today, where it's lemon, it's fruit punch or cordial, okay, this kind of drink that we have today. It's not the alcohol that we actually look. Sometimes we go to weddings, by the end of maybe you're still thirsty after 2 hours and find that the cordial that we have is all ice and water. Okay? And so it's like, I don't like this one. But the Bible talks about Jesus had to change water into the kind of cordial. Why? Because their wedding is not 1 day or 2 hours. Their wedding is 7 days. Their wedding Jewish ceremonies are 7 days. So there are reasons why, okay? And we have to be very clear on that. So as believers in Jesus Christ, whatever we do need to be in the spotlight of the Scriptures so that we are able to know for sure that we're doing the right thing. Okay? Any questions on anything or any issues or anything that people want to talk about, please feel free to ask. Okay, I hope we are not intimidated. In fact, I hope that we'll be encouraged to search the Scriptures. God wants us to know the right thing and actually to do the right thing. All right, because once we do the right thing, as parents, we will promote the right thing to our children. Okay, as Christians, we will be living right all the time, and it helps us to make right decisions to the day we see Christ. Okay? Okay? Any questions? If you seriously do have, and you'll be embarrassed to ask, you can actually message me or whatever. We can actually discuss that. Remember, doing God's will is the most important thing as a Christian. If as a Christian, we have no delight in doing God's will, We are out of God's will. I want to encourage you that, all right? Okay, any questions? Okay, let's move on to the rapture today. We're going to talk about rapture. This is your memory verse. These are the two passages, probably the clearest passages on the rapture. Okay, let's turn to First Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, we'll be there to look at the rapture. Okay, as you're turning there, we'll be actually going through that. And we want to look at what does the word rapture mean. Okay? Sometimes people may tell you, I don't believe in the rapture. And then you ask them why. And they say, the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. Did you know that? The word rapture does not appear in the Bible. The word rapture is from the Latin word rapturos, okay? Meaning to catch away. Okay? So, but the meaning of rapture means to catch away, to pluck out. Okay, there are three passages that actually talk about that. Of course, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, the Bible says in verse 17, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. The word caught up means to be plucked out of a situation. Okay? In John chapter 10, verse 28, you can write it down. The Bible says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands. Okay, it's the same Greek word, plucking out. Okay, in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, refers to the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip the evangelist was preaching to him. After he trusted Christ, he got baptized. The Bible says the Holy Spirit whisked him away. Okay, took him away, caught him out, and he went through Azotus preaching in the different cities. Okay? So the idea of being plucked out is God one day is going to catch us out of this earth. All right? Okay? So that is the doctrine of the rapture. Now, just to put it here, I didn't put it up there, but just remember the second coming of Jesus Christ is in two phases. Okay? Phase one, okay, right now is the church age in which we are in. All right? We are actually looking forward to this event called the rapture. The rapture starts the first part of the second coming of Christ, okay, which is the 7 years. The rapture means all of us as believers in Christ will be caught up together. That's the rapture. We'll be talking about this now, okay? Then there will be the 7 years of tribulation, and then Jesus Christ will physically come back to planet Earth, right? Okay, that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we believe all our hearts, okay? Today we're going to talk about the rapture itself, the first part of the second coming. Okay? Okay. We want to look at lessons from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. The first thing we want to look at is that the rapture is the believer's hope. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Now, in the book of Thessalonians, one of the problems or the errors that were taught to the Thessalonian church is that, well, if you trust in Christ and you die and that's it, finish. And all of them were kind of frantic and said, Paul, what happens to our loved ones who have died? You know, verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Paul says, I don't want you to be in the dark about this, concerning them which are asleep, those who are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The rapture is the believer's hope in Christ. That's the first thing we need to understand. Paul wants all of us to hold on to that hope, okay? It is the believer's hope. It is what we are looking forward to, all right? So that's one. And it's written down as I was studying that this man actually said, we are not looking for the Antichrist, nor are we looking for the Great Tribulation. Why is that important? Because some people who believe that we are raptured in between, like for the mid-trip, this morning, interestingly, I was at McDonald's very early, I just kind of do my work. There was this guy who apparently was a Chinese pastor, you know, he's going very early because he's supposed to make breakfast for people. So I asked him, do you believe in the rapture? Since I'm talking about this. Yeah, we do. So when are we rapture? Oh, no, in between, you know. They believe in the pre-wrath, okay, which is a mid-trip rapture. That means that in the 7 years of tribulation, they believe that they will go into the tribulation. Midway, we go up. They say, no, lah, you won't go in on lah. Okay? Because, you see, then our hope is that we have to go through 3.5 years of tribulation before we are raptured. After we show you from the Bible, that's not true, okay? So that's one thing. That's a believer's hope. Number two, the rapture is certain. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that? Do we believe that? Yes. Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also we sleep in Jesus, I mean those who are Christians, will also God bring with him. Because we're all in Christ. If Jesus rose from the dead, so will we. Okay? And in verse 15, it's interesting because the Bible says, for this say we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, God's word is certain. Therefore, this is going to happen. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or shall not hinder them which are asleep. Okay? Any questions there? So the rapture is certain. The next one, two things will happen in the rapture. Now, this is an exciting one. The Bible says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, and the trump of God. The Lord himself, I want you to notice, the second coming will be a personal, will be a personal calling up of believers by Christ himself. The asking of the people to come home in the rapture, Jesus will not give it to the angels. He himself will call us. Okay? And that's an exciting one. Two things will happen. The resurrection from the dead first. The scriptures teach, number one, there will be a shout. There will be a shout. Then the voice of the archangel, and then the trumpet of God. The shout, in olden days, in times of war, there are three parts to a call. Number one, the order is given, come. And then those people who are down there will repeat the order, hey, the king has said, come. All right? And then they will sound the trumpet to inform everyone else. Does that make sense? So in this situation, the Lord Jesus Christ will come down with a shout. The voice of the archangel will repeat that. And then the trumpet will sound, and then we will rise up. Does that make sense? It means the order is given. Now, it is not a suggestion. When there's a shout, it's a command to just like when the Lord Jesus Christ said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. That was an instruction to the dead. You guys are coming out. Okay? And so on the day of the rapture, the Bible says that and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those people who are in the grave. Now, it's interesting though, as you read this, the moment a person who is a Christian dies, his soul and spirit goes where? Go straight to heaven. Okay? Right? And what is the body for? It's interesting. Then there's this argument about, okay, so if the spirit and the body is lifted up in heaven, then, so that means you're wondering, is it? Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay? Just to answer that question. All our souls and spirit will be actually encapsulated in a body. God will give us some sort of a tabernacle. These are some of the mysteries we can only know in general, but at least we know that once we are as Christians, we sleep in Jesus Christ, we will be raised up. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Okay? Paul is just teaching the Corinthian church, if this earthly house of this tabernacle, that means if this body dies, if we die, okay? In other words, everything shut down. The Bible says that we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. All right? So any Christians who die in this life, buried, God actually have a body for him there. Okay? But it's interesting here, some people will then have the logical next thing. Then what's the point of this? But the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Because God actually redeemed. Please understand this. This is very important for people who think that they can smoke and drink and take drugs and still be a Christian. When God saved us, he saved our soul, our spirit, and our body. And he wants it back. Sin has destroyed all three, and through the redemption of Christ, the Lord Jesus is going to buy back everything. That's why we groan at this time. We say, oh God, it's so tiring here. You know what God says? One day, your body also will be reunited. All right? Okay? Any questions? So that's actually a hope for us. And that's why the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We don't abuse it with alcohol. We don't abuse it with beer. We don't abuse it with smoking. We don't abuse it, all right? We don't abuse anything that God gives to us, okay? So, and the first thing is the resurrection from the dead. Then in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Firstly, there will be a resurrection of the dead, and then there will be a translation of the living. Okay, there will be a translation of the living. This is interesting. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. The word caught up means to be raptured with them in the clouds. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There is another passage that talks to us about this situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." The rapture is a mystery, even to us as Christians today. All we are doing, did you know that if you believe in the rapture, all you're believing is what the Word of God says. There is no evidence for that except when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Except when Jesus Christ died in Matthew 27, when the graves were opened. But we didn't see it. We just read it in the Bible. Okay? Whatever we are believing right now, we are believing by faith. And I believe it by faith that we will be raptured. All right? But in 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul says, I'm going to show you a mystery. A mystery is something that was previously not known, but now God has shown to us. Okay? We shall not all sleep. In other words, Paul is just telling the Corinthian Christian, you guys, not all of you are going to die. You know what he means? He believed that the rapture was going to happen during his time. He believed that the rapture was going to happen. Not all of us are going to die. Not going to sleep. But we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye is 1/100th of a second. Okay, you can wink and you can wink. Twinkle. The twinkling of an eye is very fast. Okay, it's measured as 1/100th of a second. That's very fast. Now it was just one time, we're gone. And that's what's going to happen, okay, in the rapture. What happened? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. When you see bodies in the ground after a few years, all you have is bones. All you have is bones. It's corruptible. But the Bible says the moment we hear the shout, the body, the graves will actually open, and the body will be raised incorruptible. Okay? That's a promise. And then in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When the body is resurrected, what's going to happen is two things. Number one, the body is going to be raised up without any corruption anymore, number one. Number two, the body is going to live forever. The mortal must put on immortality. Okay? Does it make sense? All right? So that is actually, so the living will be translated. Yes, sir. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. No? Don't confuse that. At the last trump is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. It is generically called the last trump, indicating the rapture, because Paul is talking about the rapture. So it can only mean the trumpet at the calling of the rapture. Don't confuse it with the seven trumpet judgments. Because some people try to do that, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. When you put it at the last trumpet, you confuse whole theology and you have to twist a lot of scripture to fit that teaching. Okay, I know where you're coming from. I heard that before, but it's not true. The last trump simply means at the last time for us as believers. Remember, the rapture is for believers, not for the Israelites. So don't confuse the dispensations. So when Paul is talking to the Christian church, at the last trumpet, the very last thing you're going to hear from God before you go up to heaven is the last trump, the trumpet that God is going to call you in the rapture. Okay? Okay? Don't confuse the seven trumpet judgments. The seven trumpet judgments only relate to the nation of Israel. Okay? All right? So we have to be very clear on that. Thanks for that question. There's a lot of theological confusion because people just mix the church and and Israel. If you actually are very clear on that, the Bible is actually very clear, very clean. All right? Okay, Ken? Good question. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Let's turn back there again. Oh, that is a wonderful encouragement that Paul actually gives to the Corinthian, the Thessalonian Christian. Verse 17, then shall we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, our goal in the Christian life is to serve Christ because we love Him, because at the end we'll see Him. The reason why we serve Jesus Christ is not because of any reward. Of course, God will give us a reward. It's because we want to please Jesus Christ. That must be our motivation. That must be our only motivation. I believe God gives us all the other things to encourage us to keep pressing on when we're tired and we have questions like, why should I do this? Why should I serve God? I'm so tired and all that. God gives us all kinds of encouragement. But you know, the biggest encouragement we can have, so shall we ever be with the Lord. The very Christ who saved us. Okay, and verse 18, therefore, you're not going to die. Or even if you're dead, your body will be raised up. Don't be afraid. Have no fear. Therefore, comfort one another with these words that I've just talked to you about. True comfort can only come from the scriptures. Okay? And know what Paul was talking about. Any questions? Okay? Okay, we'll move on. Okay, we're gonna look at the biblical evidence for the pre-tribulational rapture. Okay? There's some people who believe in the mid-rapture. Okay, just understand that. When we are raptured, the Bible teaches us there's going to be a 7 years of judgment on planet Earth. Okay? It is going to be the most horrendous thing that ever happened in the history of man. Because God personally will judge this world for their rebellion against God. Recently, we have poor Sulawesi. You know, poor Sulawesi, Indonesian island. They had a typhoon. No, they had the earthquake first, then they had the typhoon, and then they have a volcanic eruption. More than 1,000 people have died, and all they can manage is mass graves and put everyone inside because they can't find them, can't identify them. Okay, 2003, I think, or 2004, remember the earthquake that destroyed three islands and caused, they say, about 300,000 people died across Asia on Christmas, 26th of December. Remember that one in Aceh? You don't remember? Yeah? Remember? Huh? Okay. We have never imagined the kind of scale we can know. The Kobe earthquake in Tokyo were killed, I think, close to 70,000, 100. Then there's one in Guangzhou, is it? About 70,000 people died. Also, the earthquake is quite recent. But we have never, at least in the modern history, in the last 20 years, ever seen one devastation leading to hundreds of thousands of people dying. We just had that in 2003. I believe God is just telling us, don't underestimate what the book of Revelation is telling you. The 7 years of tribulation will be 100 times worse. If the one that happened in 2004 only killed, not only, sorry, 300,000 people, you know, when God judges the earth, 3 billion people are going to die. That's very cruel of God, right? No. You know what's their response to that? They will not humble themselves. They will shake their fists at God. God, I will not believe in you. The rebellion of men. Okay? You know, for the last 2,000 years, God has been trying to reach out to them. In the 7 years of tribulation, God will then show to the world who is in charge. And you know, after we talk about that, but no. Coming back to this, the 7 years of tribulation, all right, we're going to talk about that. Why? Why we believe the Bible actually teaches the pre-tribulational rapture, meaning there are some people who believe that in the 7 years, some Christians will actually will only be raptured in the middle of the 7 years. They call it the mid-tribulation rapture or the pre-wrath rapture. They believe that wow, the wrath of God is going to be poured out in 3.5 years. All right, for those who are hearing this for the first time, please follow my hands. Okay, so 7 years, middle, some people believe we'll go up here. We believe we'll go out. We will not even go through the tribulation. All right? Because God's tribulation, our judgment on the earth, will start at the beginning of the 7 years. And it will take the whole 7 years. All right? The first 3.5 years is general, but the last 3.5 years, the Lord will attack, or rather, the Lord will judge those people who go against God and His people. All right? So we're going to talk on a few things so that we can actually be very sure of that. Okay, any questions? Please stop me, right, if I'm speaking too fast and all that. Okay, I'm just going to give you the points. Some of you already know this, and hopefully this will help you. And by the way, your test will be mainly on this. You need to be very clear what the Bible teaches. Okay, firstly, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse. Just turn back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." For they themselves, referring to the people who have heard the gospel and their lives have been changed. Okay? How that you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So there was a genuine conversion of the people after Paul actually went there to preach. And just for your Bible knowledge, Paul only had 3 weeks there. Paul was only in Thessalonian church for 3 weeks. He had to run for his life. People were trying to kill him, right? Because he was preaching the gospel. He only had 3 weeks, but those 3 weeks was enough to establish a strong church. Okay? And then in verse 10, "And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, in the New Testament, whenever you hear the phrase wrath to come, it always refers to the 7 years of tribulation. All right, it always refers to 7 years of tribulation. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 9, where the phrase is mentioned again. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. "Much more than being now justified by his blood," referring to our salvation, "we shall be saved from wrath." God's wrath through Christ. In other words, through the salvation in Christ, as New Testament believers, we will not go through the 7 years of tribulation. Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, and jot it down if you need to. Revelation 3, verse 10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth, world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." The hour of temptation refers to the 7 years of tribulation. Okay, the day of the Lord is in the Old Testament. But it actually, you see, when you call the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, it refers to God's wrath. It's the same, different phrases, same thinking, because it has to do with the 7 years of tribulation upon the Jews. That's why the day of the Lord is written many times in the book of Joel and different passages of Scripture. It does refer to the same event, but the Jews have never heard of the church, and you have never heard of the rapture. Okay? So the wrath to come was only taught to the Jewish Christians, or rather the modern-day Christians, or the Christian in the New Testament, because they knew it as the wrath of God for the 7 years. Does that make sense? Okay? It is the day of the Lord. Okay. In the New Testament, there's another day. It's called the day of Christ. The day of Christ is for Christians. It's a judgment day for Christians, the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? So the day of the Lord, if you see, refers to God's wrath and judgment on earth. The wrath to come refers to that as well. Okay, but the day of Christ refers to the judgment seat of Christ for us as Christians. Okay? So as you read your Bible, these are the things you need to take note of. All right. So church-age believers are promised salvation from wrath. In other words, if you're genuinely believing in Jesus Christ, you will not go through the 7 years of tribulation. Okay, that's one. Number two, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Yeah, I try to speed up a little bit, but it's important for you to at least know the passages, or we can actually go on to next week. Okay, now in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Okay, what does that tell you? By the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that's a rapture. Okay, "that that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither be by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So, the day of Christ that Brother Gideon was referring to, the day of Christ, day of the Lord Jesus, same thing, day of Christ, referring to judgment seat, the rapture. Apparently, during that time, there were some people trying to deceive the Thessalonians that say, well, the resurrection is past. That the Corinthian church, okay, there was a false teaching going on. So Paul says, don't be deceived by people. Because in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except they come a falling away first. Except they come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This refers to the Antichrist, okay? So remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's written about the 4 and 5, written about the rapture already. But Paul goes on to explain that there will be a falling away first. The word falling away first, some people believe it's the rapture. I believe it's actually a falling away, the apostasy, because the Greek word is apostasia, which refers to a falling away from the faith. Okay? We have a falling away from the faith today. We have a falling away from the faith today. People are just avoiding, or they are cutting the Bible. There are a lot of cults. There are a lot of wrong teaching going on. Okay? And the Bible says, the man of sin will be revealed, which is a son of perdition. The man of sin refers to the Antichrist. Okay? The son of perdition is a son of condemnation. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? It's important because the time that starts the 7 years of tribulation, please make note, take note, is not the rapture. The time that starts off the 7 years of tribulation is not the rapture. It is when the Antichrist signs a pact that unites the Muslims and the Jews to actually finally have a truce. Right now, they are trying desperately to have a peace treaty in the Middle East, right? The Antichrist is going to come, and I hope you and I will not be there to see the signing. If you and I see the signing, you're not saved. You're not saved. If ever you see Israel sign a peace treaty with the Arabs and the Muslim nations, and you are here, the only way of salvation is that you do not take the mark, and you must be prepared to die. Does it make sense? That's why the Bible actually teaches Matthew 24, they that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's only for the tribulation saints, the 7 years. We must be very clear. Okay? So the time that decides the starting of the 7 years is not the rapture. Many men of God believe that the rapture and the signing is going to be very close. Within a week, a month, it won't be very long. Okay, God is not going to extend the time because it's going to be terrible. But when the Antichrist signs a treaty or helps the Jews and the Muslims sign the treaty, that starts off the 70th week of Daniel, prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Does it make sense? Can you see the connection? Those in FBI, we're going to talk about they're going to talk about that tomorrow, okay? So that helps you understand the signing starts off the 7 years. Paul actually says when the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, that starts off the 7 years, okay? And then in verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Now, what does all this mean? In the 7 years of tribulation, the Antichrist is going to be a very peaceful man. And that is in Revelation chapter 4, the white horse. White symbolizing peace. He's seated on a horse with a crown. He's a king. It's not Jesus. It's the false Christ. And he's going to have peace. But there will come a time that he will demand to be worshipped as God. And he will shift his throne into the temple of Jerusalem and command everyone to worship him. That's in Revelation, all right? I just give you those who have been studying, hopefully it will help you to put things together here. In verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, yet I told you these things? Now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who's that he? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in the last time. This he refers to the Antichrist. But the mystery of iniquity doth already work. only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of it. Who's the second he here in verse 7? He who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Who's the he? It is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Only he who now letteth, the word letteth means he who hinders the progress of the mystery of iniquity. Okay, for those coming for the Crossroads camp in the VBS, this verse will come out, okay? The Bible actually says that in this, remember in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit came to empower the church, that starts out the whole age of grace. The Holy Spirit is on planet Earth in an unprecedented way. I mean, everywhere you see is the Spirit of grace. The fact that we are alive, the fact that we are healthy, the fact that God is still reaching out to people is all grace in this 1,000 years. Until the time he's taken out. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit will not be on planet Earth. But the Holy Spirit will only come on the 7 years to selected people. Okay? And the selected people primarily are the Jews. Okay? There will be a worldwide evangelization of the Jews. In fact, last time I used to think that very few people will be saved during the 7 years of tribulation. I don't believe that anymore. I believe God is going to be so... The number of missionaries, Spirit-filled missionaries, are going to go out 7 years. 144,000 Jewish evangelists. The whole world, the Bible says, the gospel will preach to the ends of the earth. Everyone will hear. And there will be many people who trust Christ during the 7 years of tribulation. That's God's grace. Although the Holy Spirit will only fall on people selected. Does that make sense? All right. Okay. So the Holy Spirit will be removed before the tribulation. Okay. He's not going to go to everyone now. He's going to be selectively going to people. All right. Yes, sir. Sorry? Yes, the Holy Spirit. Okay. Okay. That's a very good question. Based on the phrasing, it means the Holy Spirit totally removed. That means there's no Holy Spirit. Actually, that's not true. Okay. The way it's removed is, for example, right now, in Singapore, I say, okay, I just give you an example. You have free... Maybe in Singapore you have free travel for 1 month. After that, only selected routes will have free travel. I don't know whether it's a good example. For salvation, the Holy Spirit will still have to convict the heart. Okay? When we say that the Holy Spirit is removed from this world, it means the way the Holy Spirit is influencing this world is going to be very much different now than in the 7 years of tribulation. Right now, everywhere the Holy Spirit works. Everywhere the Holy Spirit works. So if I walk along the street, I share the gospel, the Holy Spirit can work there. If I'm in church, I preach, the Holy Spirit can be there. But in the 7 years of tribulation, God becomes very selective. God actually withholds the Holy Spirit and gives to the Holy Spirit to the people that he sovereignly actually decides. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit is still around, but it's not in the way it's around in the age of grace. In the age of grace, God pours out the Holy Spirit to everyone. That's why whosoever will may come. That's why when we trust Christ as personal Savior, the grace is extended by the Holy Spirit and we are convicted. God saves us. But in the 7 years of tribulation, it's interesting. Some people may hear the gospel 1,000 times and they will not accept. Why? God has withheld the Holy Spirit from those people whom he choose and choose not. Does that make sense? Did that help you understand? So the Holy Spirit is still around, but not in the way in the age of grace. Okay? Brother Gideon? No. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is all of grace. from now to the time we die, it's all of grace and the Holy Spirit helping us. Okay, just pretend I'm in the 7 years of tribulation, and I was someone who rejected Christ as a Jew. Okay, after we talk about that, as a Jew. But now that I realize Jesus Christ is the Messiah, I trust Christ, the Holy Spirit has to convict me, I trust Christ, right? All right? The thing I need to know is that the Bible says it's not supposed to take the mark. Not supposed to take the mark. Okay, John Piper believes that even you take the mark and you still believe in Jesus, you still be saved. The Bible says no. Okay? So what I'm saying is this. When we trust Christ, in the 7 years of tribulation, the only way that you're going to survive and ensure your salvation is not so much your self-will. The Holy Spirit has to convict you through the gospel first. Okay? But there are certain things that's very clear. If you take the mark, you'll be damned. Because God is not going to say, okay, I understand now, it was hard. No. God says, if you take the mark, you'll be damned. And so, as a believer in Jesus Christ in the 7 years, I'm very clear, I cannot take the mark. If I take the mark, I'll be damned. God said so, and God will not go back on his word. But those who genuinely believe God, God will give the Holy Spirit, the Bible says many times, the Holy Spirit will be the one to strengthen the believer to make a stand to the point of death. Okay? It is, like I mentioned, it is the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Yeah. So it's something that we have to be very clear about. As much as we have to be resolute, but God, the Holy Spirit, will give us the strength to stand in the day of judgment, in the kind of temptation. Does that make sense? It's not just self-will. Self-will can't do much. But self-will, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, following him, God can help us. But the end of then, that's why many, many, many believers in the 7 year tribulation will be killed. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, when you see the abomination of desolation, you know that passage? Go into the temple, flee to the mountains, run away. The time has come, and Satan is going all out to destroy the Jews. All right? Does that make sense? Okay? At no point our human will avail anything except energized by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Sorry? That's what I mean. Okay. So, so, but always remember to put the two together. Okay? Paul was going out because the Holy Spirit filled him and he was able to go out. Okay? So, always remember. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. It's the same. It's the same. Yes. Okay, I understand what you're saying. So are you saying that in the 7 years of tribulation, if we go against Christ, the Holy Spirit will leave us? Okay, a very simple way of understanding is in this age, all the way to end, when we trust Christ, the Holy Spirit fills us. This doesn't change. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go as he wish right now. Whoever trusts Christ, the Holy Spirit will fill us. Will come into. Okay, in the Old Testament, he can't because there was no redemption. There was no justification by faith. There was no blood that was washed away sin. So the Holy Spirit cannot take refuge in us except on sovereign, like the kings, the priests, and selected prophets. The Holy Spirit come. Like for Samson who sinned. It's interesting, Samuel had sinned. The Holy Spirit was still here until the last straw when he broke totally the vow of the Nazarene. The Holy Spirit, he didn't know that the Holy Spirit left him. Okay? So you can see God's grace, but God in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit comes and leaves. Okay? Not in the New Testament. So even during the time of I believe very much that the Holy Spirit will be, because many times in the passages that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, the Holy Spirit will be the one to help those believers when they stand before the council to speak. The Holy Spirit will be in you to help you. Does it make sense? Because once we trust Christ, that actually puts us, we're justified, we're free. And the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. But it's just that outward situations are all different now. The grace versus 7 years of tribulation. Yeah? Okay? So the Holy Spirit will be removed, okay, in the way it's operating right now. Okay? That's why whoever sits in church, reading a Bible, hearing a message, when you feel a conviction, it's like everywhere throughout the whole world, anyone who hears the word of God, the Holy Spirit can work. In anyone. Not so in the 7 years of tribulation. I believe very much 2 Thessalonians teach. Those people who are not Christians now and are rejecting Christ, when the rapture happens and they go into the 7 years of tribulation, the Bible says it is a very high... In fact, the Bible says you will not be saved. You cannot be saved. Because the Bible says God will send them strong delusion that because of the way they've been living before the rapture and after the rapture, says same one, and they will be deluded. And God actually withholds the convicting power of the Holy Spirit on non-believers, Gentile non-believers, that they will not be able to be saved. Okay? That's very scary. If the rapture happens now and you're not saved, you have no chance in the 7 years of tribulation. I'm not threatening you. The scriptures teach. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians, okay? Chapter 2. The Bible says, I'll just read through. After verse 7, he that now let us hold let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Referring to the Antichrist. Verse 9. Even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and also with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. That means the devil is going to use unrighteous ways to deceive us or do things of unrighteousness that deceive us. In them that perish, those people who have never trusted Christ, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. First time I read this verse, I cried. I'm still crying. You know what it means? It means that if a person doesn't trust Christ now, and we don't plead with them, when the rapture happens, God will send you such strong delusion that you will not even believe the gospel, even when you heard it. Because the Bible says, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but that pleasure in unrighteousness. You know why do we plead? For people to trust Christ. Because when the door's closed, you have no second chance. And that's one of the motivation, if you truly understand. You know, it's kind of like Noah when he shut the door. And by the way, did Noah close the door? He didn't close the door. God shut the door in the ark. And when God shuts the door, no one opens the door. And when God decides the rapture is going to come, the door is shut for non-believers. Because the plan of God in the 7 years of tribulation is no longer for the Gentiles, it's for the Jews. That's where God will cause worldwide revival. Many of the Jews will become Christians. That's why Revelation chapter 7, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Okay? Today, every Jew, if you want to be a pure Jew, you have to deny Jesus as the Messiah. That's one of the stipulations. That's why I heard from one of a very good Christian friend. He's so much into the Jewish culture and all that, but he's a Christian and he's a preacher as well. He said, if there are 13 things, I wrote it down, but I can't remember all, but one thing he says, I read it before, you cannot admit Jesus to be the Messiah. And that's one of their beliefs. But you know what? During 70 of tribulation, they have no choice but to look out and realize actually Jesus is the Messiah. And many of them will be saved. All right? Yes, sir. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We don't have to doubt what the Bible says. It's 12,000, it's 12,000. How? I don't know. But God says so, number one. Number two, I think the logical reason, right now many Jews are back in Israel, and they're very interested in their genealogies. It's possible that they're already starting to write down the names. I don't know. But the Bible says 12,000 from every tribe. And that means it's going to be 12,000 from every tribe. If you're a Bible believer, that's why it says, if you're not a Bible believer, you will try to find other reasons. That's my explanation. If the Bible says so, it will be 12,000 for every tribe. Anyway, I'm not around to find out. All I know is my God said so. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing because the number of missionaries that go out from a small country of over 6 million, is 144,000 Jewish missionaries going out to preach all over the world. That's God's grace. We can hardly even get 2-3 missionaries right now in Singapore. I mean, who were dedicated to, I'm sure there are other people, okay? I'm not just trying to minimize that. But you know, it was God's grace, completely God's grace, to send out from one nation of 6 million, 144,000, to evangelize the world. We need to be doing that now, okay? All right, any questions? Okay, I'll just go one more. Okay. The rapture is said to be imminent. Oops. The rapture is said to be imminent, meaning it could happen at any time, okay? The Bible is very clear. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Bible says, let's read together. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. 1, 2, go. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The thief will not tell you when he's coming. That's not to say our Lord is a thief. It was just an illustration that when a thief wants to come in, he's not going to tell you when. He's not going to tell you when. It's just an illustration that when the Lord comes, it is going to be a sudden coming. The word imminent means nothing remains to be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. The last thing that had to happen happened May 14, 1948, when Israel becomes a nation. And the Bible, Jesus teaches, when you see the budding of this fig tree refers to Israel. When Israel becomes a nation, you see that all things are stacking towards that now. You know you're in the last days. We are living in the last days. Jesus can come at any time. The Bible says, therefore the rapture is imminent. I mean, during Paul's time, they were already telling them that it's going to come as a thief in the night. There was one preacher, one man of God, who says, if Paul waited 2,000 years, if Paul at that time was concerned that the rapture is going to happen at that time, how much more today? How much more today? And it's so important for us, okay? Okay, I think we'll stop there. We'll continue with the rapture next week. Good questions. I hope that will anchor your thoughts. Whatever questions that you ask, make sure then you bring it forward. Say, okay, now I understand. And therefore, this is what I need to believe. And then practice, okay? Any questions on the rapture? For those who have never trusted Christ and think that you have another day, I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you, as much as my faith is in the Word of God, the rapture can happen in 1 hour's time or 1 day's time or 1 year's time or 10 years' time. How we need to live in view of this is to live as if the rapture is going to happen today, so that whatever we need to do, we no longer procrastinate. For those who have never trusted Christ, can I plead with you? You need to seriously take this. Because the Bible actually teaches that when you go into 7 years of tribulation, the Antichrist is going to give you strong delusion that you will believe a lie and that you will be damned. And that you cannot blame anyone else except yourself for not trusting Christ. Okay, for those who are sure of their salvation, you know, we'll talk about it more next week, but we need to be urgent about telling other people about Jesus. All right, any questions? Okay, well, let's close in one of prayer. Yes, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching on the rapture. Father, we know that the coming is so imminent. And Father, we know your word is true. Father, I know that even as Noah built the ark 120 years, he was building. But Father, as the time clock started to count down, from 120 years to 100 years to 50 years to 10 years to 1 year to 1 month to 1 day, many people still refused to believe until the flood came and took them all away. I pray, Lord, that even as we continuously sound the warning, continuously plead with people to open their hearts to Christ, we know, Father, it is your work in their hearts and their willingness to cooperate with the knowledge that they have that will lead them, Lord, to salvation, repentance from sin, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray as believers in Christ, we will be so urgent about the rapture. I will thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.